Okay, last week, I picked a catechism question and answer and sought to expound it, more of a doctrinal sermon. I'm going to do the same this week, but I can't promise you that I'll only preach for 10 minutes. I looked up last week on Amazon, on Sermon Audio, and I noticed, wow, that was 10-minute sermon last week. I think that's why Debbie leaned over picking up hymnals and said, good job. Is that right? 10 minutes was the good job. So we have a question and an answer I want to ask. I'll ask the question, I'll give the catechism, the old catechism answer, and then I'll expound it. Why does God require his law to be preached exactly and severely, knowing that there is no man in this life able to keep it? Why preach the law in such a way that man is unable to keep it? Because we're sinners. Why do that? It's a good question. Here's the old answer. First, that we increasingly acknowledge the great proneness of our nature to sin and heartily desire forgiveness and righteousness in Christ. That's a good answer. Second, that we do this always and so implore and crave from the Father the grace of his Holy Spirit. It is by this grace that we may be renewed day by day to the image and likeness of God. Once we depart out of this life, we will attain to that joyful perfection which is promised to us. So why does God require that his law be preached if no one is able to keep it? That's the question. We meditate on one of the Ten Commandments every Lord's Day. Sometimes, well, we usually do two Lord's Days on the first, two Lord's Days on the second, two Lord's Days on the third, all the way down. And then we go back. So if you come to our church, and if you're a member here, you've been here any length of time, you get that repetitively, over and over and over. And I tell you, every week, nobody can walk on this earth spotless, sinless, and unstained. One did, but it's not you, and certainly not me. The Lord Jesus did for us and for our righteousness. So the answer to the question, why does God require that his law be preached if no one is able to keep it? First of all, in order that we would constantly recognize the prevalence and power of remaining corruption in us as believers and desire fresh forgiveness and righteousness in Christ. In other words, the preaching of the law produces in believers the conscious and continuing need for the gospel. Okay, notice what I did not say. The preaching of the law produces in believers the conscious and continuing need for more oomph, to try harder. Now, should we try harder? Should we try to obey the Lord harder? Well, yes, but it's not our trying harder that we ultimately need. We need forgiveness and strength. And where do we get that? In the gospel. We don't get it in the law, we get it in the gospel. But when the law comes to us in its rigor, we're reminded, oh yeah, I might have had a pretty good week, but it's nothing like the eternal state. I still sinned. I have sins that I committed that I'm not even consciously aware of. Forgive me of my hidden faults, let alone the ones I know. There's ones that I don't know that God knows. I'm worse than I realize. I need help. I need the gospel. The more exactingly and severely the law is preached, the more we see our need for the gospel. But if we don't preach the law properly, we teach people to think they can live up to the law, and we all become fruit inspectors and Pharisees. And we're going to be proud and miserable. Second, God would have his law preached in order to see our need for the gospel of the Son of God, that we might call on the Father for the outpouring, for the overcoming grace of the Holy Spirit. And one of the texts they used to support this is Ephesians 3:16, where we read this, that the Father, that He, the Father, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. So it is the Spirit of God who delivers power to the people of God in the inner man, that is, in our souls. And in this text, that power is ours for the asking. So when believers are reminded of their proneness to sin when the law is preached in their presence, properly and rightly, believers desire forgiveness, which is provided for them based on the work of Christ. And they are led to cry out to God for help. Forgive me, on the one hand. Strengthen me in the inner man, on the other hand. And this help is given to them as answered prayer in the form of power in the soul brought to them by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit brings renewing grace in order to conform us to the image of God. And that's a little gospel in itself, right? The preaching of the law to believers does at least two things. It makes them love the gospel more, and it makes them realize their dependence upon the grace of God more. Preach the law right, and you should go, man, I love the gospel. Preach the law right, you got to, man, I need to be more dependent on the grace of God. Or preach the law right, man, I love Jesus. Preach the law right, man, I hate myself. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death. Praise be to the Lord. Only He can deliver us from that. That's, by the way, when Paul wrote that, he wasn't a young whippersnapper. Do we still say that kind of stuff? Sean's laughing. You probably saw it on a movie once. He's not a young man, right? He's a mature apostle, and he's opening up his soul to us. Wretched man that I used to be. Nope. Wretched man that I am. The answer to question 133, that's the question I am dealing with, reminds us of a wonderful truth. This ministry of the law, pointing out our sin, our corruption, our need for Christ, our need for forgiveness, our need for the Holy Spirit to empower us to overcome our corruption, will come to an end. The answer to that question made me say that. Once we depart, here's the answer. The last part. Once we depart out of this life, we will attain to that joyful perfection which is promised to us. Ah, there's going to be an end to the warfare. Hebrews 12:23 speaks of the spirits of the righteous made perfect. If you haven't figured out yet, you have a spirit, and you have a spirit and you're a righteous one, that is in Christ, but you haven't been made perfect yet, right? No perfectionists here. This, Hebrews 12:23, the spirits of the righteous made perfect, is referring to believers who have gone to heaven where Christ is. You haven't gone to heaven where Christ is. You still have remaining corruption, and so do I. You sin, and I sin. We sin more than we realize it. We're way worse than we realize, and you know the other side of it. God is way better and more merciful than we'll ever exhaust. They are absent from the body and present with the Lord, but we're not. When believers die, their souls are made perfect. Their bodies will be made perfect on the last day, but their souls immediately get perfected. They become impermeable to sin. They don't sin anymore. For instance, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Now that's referring to the last day or the day of the resurrection. So at the resurrection, the bodies of believers will be transformed. At death, the souls of believers are transformed. You're not dead. If you're a believer, you still sin. The believers struggle with competing desires, giving in to the sinful inclinations that wage war against the soul, the need for and desire for forgiveness, crying out for the grace of the Holy Spirit to be empowered to fight against sin. The days of such things shall come to an end for believers. But we're not there yet. So we still need to use the means of grace. Until we die, our Lord comes, we will sin. Any holiness, any obedience in conformity to the law of God is to be viewed as only a small beginning in obedience. Just a small beginning. True believers really want to obey God's law and will exert sincere efforts toward that end. True believers need to hear the law of God preached because it makes us love the gospel more. And it makes us realize our dependence upon the grace of God more. And this grace of God is ours only because of the doing and the dying and the rising of Jesus for us and for our salvation. If we have grace from God, it has not been merited by us. If we have grace from God, it has been merited for us by another, even our Lord Jesus Christ. So never forget that one day we will be saved to sin no more. Isn't that a great line in the hymn? Saved to sin no more, whatever that means. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Probably have to sing that hymn. Listen to 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for these tools, this catechism that's helpful to instruct in good, solid Christian doctrine. It's ultimately rooted in the truths of Holy Scripture. We thank you for your law. We thank you for its various purposes. Today, concentrating on the fact that it points out our sin. It also points out our not only our sin, our lack of obeying, but our guilt because we have violated your law and we are justly liable to punishment. It points us not to ourselves, not to try harder, not to dig deeper and find the spark of divinity within us. It points us outside of ourselves. It doesn't identify that thing outside of ourselves that will help us, but it surely tells us we're not the answer. The Word of God tells us the answer. It is the Son of God. It is the Son of God becoming flesh, dwelling among us, living, obeying, suffering, dying, rising, ascending, seated at the right hand of glory, reigning and coming. May we fix our eyes on him more and more and more in light of all that we've heard. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.